This is Bristol, and you are listening to a podcast from the Bristol Confringe reading series.
Okay, folks, I think we've got everybody replenished with their drinks and stuff, so it's time to get on with our second reader of the evening. This is going to be Sarah Rash, who is going to read to us from one of her fantasy novels, I believe. So over to you, Sarah.
So reading from Lord of Snow and Shadows, which was the first of my fantasy trilogy called The Tears of Artemon. Now, I wrote some notes for myself just in case I forgot what it was about. Basically, I was thinking it really isn't very wintry at the moment, is it? I mean, it's sort of wet and it's mild and it's windy. But one of the inspirations for writing this series, and particularly the extract I'm going to read to you, was, I think, buried in the great winter of 63, which most of you look too young to remember. I was trudging to school and back then through the snow, and I think it must have made a big impression on me, because when I came later on to write this story, which is set mostly in Ashkandir, which is a kind of Russian-based country. It's an alternative late 18th century, but Ashkandir has been kind of left behind. And just to give you a bit of background, it's about Gavril, who's a portrait painter who lives in sunny Smyrna, but he discovers that the father that he doesn't remember was really the Lord of Ashkandir, and what's more, he's just been assassinated. So Gavril is spirited away to this far cold and rather rough country, and finds himself in a very difficult situation, because he's got to find out who murdered his father, and is he also a target for the people who murdered his father? His only ally in all this is a young servant in the castell who's called QQ, and the rest of the castell don't, the staff don't really think too much of her, and she finds herself in quite a lot of trouble in this extract, because she has fallen foul of the mistress of Gavril's father, who is still very much there and in command, and what's more, she's just had a baby, and that baby is a rival heir to Gavril and being the ruler of Ashkandir. And QQ has just come across the baby choking on its feed and has tried to rescue it. In comes the mistress, Lilius, and goes, "What are you doing? You're trying to kill my baby." This is not looking good for QQ. QQ has been turned out of the castell. QQ shouldered her bundle of possessions and set off down the road without another backwards glance. Here, at least, the snow was well trodden by the Dushina's horses, but at the end of the road, at the edge of the castell grounds, lay open moorland. A little trail wound across the moors to the distant village of Klim. The pines were thinning out now, and the protection that the forest trees had given her, that the keen wind would soon be behind her. She came down the lane and stopped. The icy breathed wind sighed through the pine needles, rattling the leafless branches of the last remaining trees. A white desolation stretched ahead, as far as she could see. The dark green gorse, the bronze fronds of bracken, all had disappeared beneath the snow. There was no sound except the incessant sighing of the wind, a desolate, lonely whine. And there was no break in the grey canopy of cloud overhead, no hint of sun or thaw. Even the trail was difficult to make out now that it was covered with drifts of snow. "Must keep moving," QQ told herself. She put her head down and trudged out into the powdery snow. The wind whined about her. She was glad of the warmth of Auntie Sosia's scarf. After a while, she stopped, breathless and weary. Her feet were beginning to feel wet. The snow had worked its way into all the cracks in her old boots and melted, seeping up into the soles. Am I going the right way? She shaded her eyes against the snow light. Even though there was no visible sun, the whiteness was dazzling, making her eyes ache. All the usual landmarks looked different or had vanished, blended into the monotonous snowscape. The Carsgill should be on her right side, with the biggest peak, Arkell's Fang, in the centre. But as she peered across the snowfields, all she could see was a dull mist where the mountains should be. And if she were on the right path, shouldn't she have come to the shepherd's hut by now? She felt a sudden pang of apprehension. If she had lost her way, she could wander into one of the moorland quagmires and never be found again, or freeze to death. Stop scaring yourself, she told herself fiercely. Just keep walking. You'll come to Klim soon enough. She wrapped the old blanket more closely about her. After a while, she began to mutter rhythmically to keep her feet moving. Lord Gavril will save me. Lord Gavril will save me. As she tramped doggedly onward, it began to seem as if the light was slowly fading and the snow mist was rolling closer, blotting out everything but the immediate surroundings. She had no idea how long she had been walking now, only that her bundle seemed to weigh more than when she had set out, and her feet were not only wet but sore. Up ahead, she saw a standing stone looming out of the mist. Eat something, she decided. A lighter bundle would help. She rested her back against the lichened boulder and untied her bundle, pulling out the bread and cheese Sosia had given her. It was not until she began to eat that she realised how hungry she was. She tore into the rye bread, relishing the taste, the chewy crust. Even the cheese, the hard, pungent ewe's milk, usually used for toasting, tasted delicious. Better save some for later, just in case. She looked down regretfully at the last of the loaf and the corner of cheese, and then stuffed them back in the bundle. Just in case I don't reach the village? She pushed the thought away. Must keep going. She slung the bundle over her shoulder and forced herself to start out again, away from the shelter. The mist seemed to have rolled in more thickly now, and even the trail was becoming difficult to make out. Sometimes she found herself blundering into snow-covered bracken. Her legs were aching and her feet were numb with cold. Reach the village soon. She kept the picture of the village in her mind, imagining arriving at the inn, knocking the snow from her boots, opening the door and feeling the glorious warmth from the fire enveloping her, seeping right down into her frozen toes. Was it growing darker? There would be lights in the village, lamps lit in the little houses. She would see them soon, glowing in the mist. She stumbled on a stone, righting herself. Her stubbed toes hurt, in spite of the numbness, bruised and sore. She was tired, tired enough not to walk with a regular gait anymore, bone tired. She shivered in the intense, aching cold. Keep on walking. It can't be far now. Stubbornly, she kept on, even though it was fast growing too dark to see. The little whispers of doubt that she had tried to ignore began to clamour in her mind. Lost. She was lost on the moors. She would never reach the village. The snow and the intense cold would gradually freeze the last of her strength. Stop thinking like that, She must find shelter, huddle up for the night in her blanket and wait till dawn. Shelter? She could hardly see more than a yard or so in front of her. There was no shelter, only bracken and stone and the slow rolling snow mist. Something cold and feather-like brushed her cheek. First one soft chill kiss, then another and another. It had begun to snow. QQ stumbled blindly on, head down through the softly falling snow. Can't keep going, must rest. But where could she find shelter? Out here on the bleak moorlands, there was not even a dry stone wall to act as a windbreak. Ghost singer. She heard voices in the wind, soft as the whispering snow. Who's there? She called hesitantly. Guzliya. Was she imagining the voices? Little eddies of snow whipped up by the wind whirled about her. Is anyone there? Snow blew into her mouth, melting to ice water. Please, anyone? She could hear faint singing. An eerie, sighing, desolate music, cold as the drifting flakes. How could there be people singing out here, so far from shelter? Suddenly, a memory flung her back into the warm kitchen at the Castell. She could only have been 4 or 5 years old. She had knelt, nose pressed to the cold pane, smearing the glass with her breath. Outside, the snow twirled and whirled. Oh, the old snow woman's plucking her geese again, Auntie Sosia had said, over at the cooking range, stirring vegetables into the soup. As QQ stared out, she saw figures amid the snow, vague and insubstantial, wreathing in a swirling dance. Auntie, she had called. Who are they? Those people outside? Oh, no one outside in this blizzard, Sosia replied distractedly. And then QQ heard the voices, wisps of sound at first, cold and brittle as hoarfrost. Then the singing grew stronger, wilder. The music was so beautiful it made her heart ache. And before she knew what she was doing, she was getting down, walking toward the door, wanting to go out into the snow. She ran smack into the legs of a tall man who stopped and caught her. Where are you off to, little one? It was one of the Druzhina, Yuri, Auntie Sosia's elder brother. Outside, to join the singing. There's no singing outside, only blizzard. He picked her up and carried her back into the kitchen, dumping her on the table. But the dancers! Haven't you ever heard of the snow spirits? He crouched down so that his head was on a level with hers. The spirits of people who died out on the moors in the snows. They come back with a blizzard every winter, and they sing to lure the living to their deaths in the snow. What nonsense are you filling her head with now? Sosia cried. There's no such thing as snow spirits. It's just a silly tale. Just a silly tale, QQ repeated to herself, trudging doggedly on. No one there, only the wind. Pale faces, white as mist, loomed out of the swirling snowflakes. Spindle-thin fingers, translucent as icicles, plucked at her hair, her clothes. Voices breathed in her ear. You're not there, shouted QQ. I don't believe in you. You don't exist. A thin, high voice began to sing. It sang of snow. It sang of the white vastness of the web-bound, ice-bound sea. The song was pure as clear ice and bitter as eternal winter. QQ was desperately tired now. She stumbled, nearly fell. Many voices joined the one. Rest, they sang. Let us wrap you in soft snow. Let us sing you to sleep. I can't hear you, QQ cried. How did they know all she wanted was to stop and lie down? She could no longer feel her feet. Her throat and lungs burned with the cold, dry snow air. But if she stopped, it was as good as giving up. Her foot caught in a knotted clump of heather. She pitched forward, putting out her numbed hands to try and save herself. Too late, snow spirits wreathed around her, hands linked in a swirling, spinning dance. She was trapped. Help me, she called vainly into the darkness. She tried to push herself back up, but the snow clung to her clothes, weighing her down, as still the spirits circled closer. Faces glanced down at her white as death, cruel and bleakly beautiful as mountain snow. Chill fingers caressed her, each drifting caress numbing her blood, until she cowered, shivering uncontrollably in the wet snowdrifts. Help me, she called again, even though she knew there was no one to help her. Sleep, sang the sweet, cold voices, stroking their chill fingers through her hair. QQ saw a dark doorway slowly opening before her. With growing dread, she recognized the yawning blackness beyond. It was the portal to the ways beyond, the portal she had last crossed with Lord Volk's spirit wraith clinging to her. Now it yawned open for her alone. No, she cried, furious that she should have to die like this. I'm not going to go through. It's not my time yet. I have to protect Lord Gavril. I gave him my word. Why go on suffering, whispered a single voice. Give in. Let go. Is life so sweet? QQ sank back into the snow, exhausted. The black portal towered above her. She was too weak to resist it. She could feel the dark leaking into her mind, filling it with death-cold shadows. As she sank back into the snow, her will began to waver. The darkness was surrounding her, numbing all her senses. All she could hear was the whispering chant of the snow spirits. She was fading, dying.
That's positively George-like in its cliffhangerness. Well, thank you very much, Sarah. We'll take another short break now for people to refill their glasses, and then we'll reconvene in 5 to 10 minutes' time to ask our readers some interesting, hopefully interesting, questions.
BristolCon Fringe is a monthly reading series produced by the BristolCon Foundation. Our thanks to the Shakespeare Tavern for providing us with a venue. The music at the beginning of this podcast is The Future by Chevy 174.